TNG Radio,
where today's culture and timeless truths come together.
It's reasoned, relevant content, apologetics, worldview, and answers to the questions that you need to know.
You need to know.
From Alex McFarland Ministries, this is Truth for a New Generation Radio. And now the man who preached in 50 states in 50 days, speaker, writer, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
You know, for so much of our life, we think about time. We try to manage our time. We try to project and budget our time. And I want to talk a little bit about time. And today we'll talk about living in expectation of Christ's return. And two extremes regarding time. The Higgs boson particle that famously made the news about 7 years ago is a particle that doesn't last for a very long time. A Higgs boson particle exists, they believe, for a zeptosecond, a billionth of a billionth of a second. That's a very brief amount of time, isn't it? A billionth of a second. And then there's a long unit of time that we would call, what the Bible speaks of, eternity. Isn't that something? That's a long, long, unending unit of time, eternity. Hey, welcome to the program. Alex McFarland here, Truth for a New Generation Radio. And we're going to talk about Christ's return and eschatology and really a couple of things that the Bible has to say about that. I do want to encourage you to be in prayer because as we record this, we are only days away from the next Truth for a New Generation event in Richmond, Virginia, October 11 and 12, 2019. And there's still time to register and attend. And I'm very excited about this because we're going to be talking about biblical worldview. All of our speakers are going to be talking about living the Christian life, defending the faith, things like how do we know God exists, and how do we know the Bible is God's Word, and how can we defend that Jesus rose from the dead, and Christianity is unique. And in a world that is growing increasingly hostile to Christianity, how do we live out our faith? But we're also going to have a couple of presentations by my dear friend William J. Federer, and he's going to talk about the Constitution and this rush for impeachment and the impeachment hearings. And frankly, I asked Bill to be sure and talk about this. He is an expert on American history and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the amendments and how the houses of Congress function. And let me just say this, you need to be in Richmond, October 11 and 12, at Truth for a New Generation, if for no other reason, to learn how to intelligently and factually respond to what Newt Gingrich said in the press this week is an attempted coup, a coup d'etat of our government. And I would encourage you, even if you can't be at Truth for a New Generation in Richmond, please pray. Please pray for the conference. Please pray for our country. Please pray about the role God would have you to play about being salt and light in our culture. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, the Word of God says this, and this is Paul's prayer for those Christians and for us. He says, "And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." You know, earlier in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, Paul had written, "May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before God and the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. Amen." So let's talk about this, Christ's return, living in expectation of Christ's return. Because regarding time, after this world is done, after our life is over, there will be no second chance. There's only eternity. And eternity is a long, long time. Choose carefully. History is linear. History seems to be going somewhere. And you know, 100 years ago at the dawn of the 20th century, technology was growing. After the First World War, there was this mantra that was in much of the popular press. Every day, in every way, man is getting better and better. And little could people have known not only that there would be many more wars than the 20th century, the Second World War would even be more violent and bloody than the first, but also with the growth of technology would be a corresponding decrease in morality. And I think about the devices that we have now, the mobile devices and the on-demand video and wireless communication virtually everywhere and texting and all of the incredible industry that's grown up around social media. I mean, people of previous generations, I don't think they could have fathomed where technology could go and would go. But I also don't think they could have fathomed the great absence of morality that began 50 years ago with the breakdown of the family and no-fault divorce. And then there was unrestricted abortion and really the cheapening of life. Now, all the while, there was within the popular media, within secular education, just this unrelenting drumbeat of evolution. And so it's little wonder that life is so cheap nowadays, because kids from toddlerhood up are told that they're not the product of a special creator God. They're not unique. We are merely the highest evolved primate. We're an evolutionary accident. And the human race has been cheapened. Life has been cheapened. Personhood and dignity for the individual has been cheapened. And we can abort babies, and that's seen as somehow a civil right. And now, with the redefinition of marriage and the really enforcement of the affirmation of homosexuality in our culture, now the pervasive belief that gender is fluid. I mean, we have lost our identity. Part of the problem of the modern world is we have no identity. Not only do we not know what it is to be a human being, we don't know what it is to be an image bearer of God. In many quarters, we don't even definitively know if we're a male or a female. And in light of this, eternity still marches ever closer. So we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to talk about living in expectation of Christ's return on today's edition of Truth for a New Generation.
From I Am a Watchman Ministries, here's today's I Am a Watchman Minute.
About 3,000 years ago, a teenage boy named Jonathan and a friend came across the camp of an enemy army. Hundreds were there. Jonathan said to his friend, "Let's go get them." And they did, and had the victory, and this is why. Number one, Jonathan was not doing what he wanted to do. He was doing what God wanted him to do. And here's the truth. Those who follow God's leading will find it leads to blessing. Number two, Jonathan knew the prophecies and promises in the Word. He proclaimed, "Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." And that's a paraphrase of Moses' prophetic promise in the book of Leviticus. Jonathan knew the Word, claimed its promises, followed God's leading, and found the victory. And you can too.
Be bold. Be faithful. Be a watchman. IamAWatchman.com.
If you're a Christian parent, you of course want to instill a biblical view of life in the hearts of your children. If you're a pastor, you want to offer ministry that draws young families to your church. This is Alex McFarland encouraging you to check out my new book and video curriculum, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity.
Why do bad things happen?
I interviewed hundreds of children ages 5 to 12, and we address actual questions from actual children, the spiritual issues that are on the minds of your kids.
Did Jesus ever sin?
The book and video lessons are great for groups of any size and was produced with the goal of equipping kids to stand strong for Christ in any situation. The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask, the book, study guide, and video series, you'll find it at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
We care about justice.
And aren't afraid to ask hard questions.
In fact, we care about a lot of things.
We have passion for truth.
We are EngageMagazine.net, an online group of millennials brought together by a common goal: to share truth, apply scripture, and to get involved in our lost and hurting world. EngageMagazine.net hosts discussions that help you apply a biblical worldview to your daily life. EngageMagazine.net.
At Liberty University, you'll earn more than a degree. You'll earn the satisfaction of seeing what you can accomplish and what God can accomplish through you. Choose from more than 600 degree options, from an associate to a PhD, and study 100% online more affordably than you think. Discover God's truth through every degree at Liberty University, where we train champions for Christ. Go to liberty.edu/explore to learn more. That's liberty.edu/explore to learn more.
For apologetics resources, books by Alex McFarland, and to find out where Alex is speaking, visit alexmcfarland.com.
Welcome back to Truth for a New Generation Radio. Alex McFarland here, and I want to thank everybody who's been praying for the ministry and sending the financial support and inviting me to preach. I've had a very, very busy fall, and I've got a lot more to do before this year is out. I'm going to be in Texas. I'm going to be in Western North Carolina. I'm going to be in Florida. And you can follow the schedule on alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. You can sign up for our conferences, truthfornewgeneration.com. And let me say, as you look at 2020 and 2021, you know, we've already got one invitation for 2021 and growing numbers for 2020. Listen, it is more imperative than ever that we know what we believe and the reasons why, and especially that we equip our young people to know what they believe and why. It would be my joy to speak with you about your church, your Christian school, coming to your local college, doing a debate with an atheist or a skeptic, and we'll do what our very best is to help your church ramp up to present and defend the gospel here in the 21st century. And we're talking about what I think is one of the great parts of the Christian message is the reality of Christ's return, because it is an incentive to turn your life over to God. And let me just say this, Christ's return is a biblical reality. Do you know, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, let me give you the examples in the Gospels in Matthew. Matthew 7, Jesus says that he will preside over the final judgment in, quote, that day. He said in Matthew that he would gather the nations and separate the entire human race like wheat from tares. He commissions the angels in Matthew 13, 49 through 50, the angels to separate the wicked from the just. He said that he would come in glory. He said that he would sit on a throne of glory. He would come, Matthew 24, like a bolt of lightning from the sky, Matthew 24, 27 through 31. You know, sometimes people say that if Christ were returning, they would then decide to get their life right. Well, you don't, when a bolt of lightning strikes, you don't have time to make a choice. It's instantaneous. Matthew 24, Jesus said he would come at an unexpected time. He said that we are to be prepared for his return. Remember, he said, "What I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake and watch." He said that he would come in glory, Matthew 25, 1 through 40, 31 through 46, and that he would judge the nations, and he would sit on the right hand of heavenly power. And then in Mark, he said that if we are ashamed of him, he would be ashamed of us at his coming, Mark 8, 38. He said that he would gather the chosen ones from every direction, Mark 13, 26 and following. He compared his return to like a man gone on a long journey who the time of his return was not known, Mark 13, 34 through 37. And he said in Mark 14 that he would come back on the clouds in power and in his full Godhead, which is eternal, his deity. In the book of Luke, Jesus said that he would come at a time period and that we should watch or be ready. He said that he would come like lightning after his crucifixion and resurrection. That's Luke 17, 24 through 25. He talked about coming back again at the end of the tribulation. Luke 21, 25 through 28. He said that his coming, this is very interesting, that we are not to be conformed to the characteristics of this sinful world, Luke 21, 34 through 36, and his return would be as rapid as the snapping shut of a trap. And again, speaking to the immediacy of his return. In the Gospel of John, Christ said that he would come after having gone to prepare a place for believers, John 14, 1 through 4. He said he would come again, and an undetermined or at least unknown time of his return is implied in John 21, 22, and 23. So it's a reality, folks. You know, the Bible only has to say something once for it to be true, and yet the return of Christ, Jesus himself referenced 20 times in the four Gospels. But it's a comfort This is not something to be, you know, obsessively afraid of. If you're a born-again believer, you've given your life to Christ, it's a great comfort. I would say Christ's return is a great motivation. It's a great incentive. You know, in Matthew 7, 21 through 24, when Jesus speaks of, quote, that day, what day? The day we'll stand before God. Martin Luther famously said that he only had 2 days in his calendar, this day and that day. In other words, living for God today, appearing before God one day in the future. It's a motivation. And let me say to everyone listening, if you've never been saved or you don't know that you're born again, what an incentive to make sure that you're sure that you've called upon the name of Christ. And maybe if this show prompts you to do that, just reach out to us. We'd love to send you a little booklet. Tens of thousands of people have gotten this little booklet. It says, what does God say about my relationship with Him? And we'll send you one if you need to come to Christ or come back to Christ. Write to us. Just you can write to me, alex@alexmcfarland.com. And I'll send you just ask for the little brown book. It will be our joy to send you one so that you can know that you'll be ready to meet the Lord one day. And what a great incentive that is. Well, Christ's return is a promise. And let me say this. People ask me, you know, the world is getting dark. The world's getting violent, dangerous. You know, how many nations have nuclear capabilities now? And who might someday blow up whom? You know, we don't know. We don't know. We do pray for peace and we pray for safety and security. But what a promise to know that whatever this life throws our way and whatever the future might hold, ultimately, for the born-again believer, we are secure in our Savior. We will see Him one day. We'll be with Christ. And I would say also that Christ's return is a warning. You know, at the end of the book of Revelation, after all of the things that go on during the book of Revelation, Revelation 4 through 20, and the tribulation period, and all that is unleashed by a fallen world and a demonically empowered regime trying to kill off God and the human race as well, it's very unsettling. But Revelation 22 closes by giving one more gospel invitation, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And like Isaiah 55 and Revelation 22, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so it's a warning. Come to Christ. It's an opportunity and an offer. Be saved, and you can know that you are ready to meet God. Stay tuned, folks. We have another segment, and we're going to be talking about living expectantly in light of Christ's return when Truth for a New Generation comes back.
The TNG Unashamed Conference is coming to Richmond, Virginia, October 11th and 12th. Experience core truths that make for an unshakable faith with Tina Marie Griffin, Todd Starnes, Kamal Shalim, Miki Addison, Chuck Crismeyer, and William Federer. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Come to the Truth for a New Generation conference and get equipped, empowered, and inspired to confidently share the gospel of Jesus Christ. TNG is committed to impacting our nation for Christ and the future and equipping you to be a difference maker. Register now by calling 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or visit the TNG website at truthforanewgeneration.com. The TNG Unashamed Conference, Richmond, Virginia, October 11th and 12th. Dive deeper into your faith.
1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be ready always to give an answer for the hope we have. We're instructed to be prepared to defend our faith. This is Alex McFarland for the Life Answers Teams, students we train at North Greenville University, a leading Christian college in South Carolina. The Life Answers Teams are made up of students who will inspire and equip your congregation. These apologetics teams we train speak in churches, to youth groups, and train Christians of all ages to address key issues of our times from a biblical perspective. Like, is there a God? Is the Bible true? What about gender and moral issues? call me at 864-977-2008, and we will arrange for the Life Answers team to come to your church and give a presentation that will benefit your people for years to come. 864-977-2008, and always be ready.
In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex McFarland is a voice you can trust to speak the timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. So glad to be with you. We're talking about the return of Christ. And I want to give you four things to aspire to as we anticipate our meeting with Jesus: to be sound, blameless, holy, and pure. The word sound, to stay or be kept sound, what does that mean? Well, the word really means preserved, to be guarded and protected, to be preserved. You know, the Christian life consists of the new birth, but also sanctification. Now, sanctified means set apart, to be increasingly conformed to the image of Christ, which, by the way, is a great evidence of the reality of the gospel. You know, we teach people apologetics, but do you know that you yourself are an apologetic? If your life is exhibiting a life changed by and controlled by Jesus. 1 Peter 2:15, this is the will of God, that by doing well you will put to silence the arguments of foolish men. See, like I say, you are exhibit A of God's power to change a life. So we can do apologetics. You are an apologetic. And that's why the Word of God says that we are to stay preserved, or literally guarded over, to be kept sound, as 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, really means to be preserved from without. Maybe it's like putting food in a refrigerator to keep it from spoiling. Aren't you glad that if we will let Him, if we won't fight against it, that the Holy Spirit of God will keep us preserved, guarded over? You know, I think about how it talks about the Spirit guiding us and sealing us. And we are to stay in this preserved, sanctified, holy, obedient state for our Lord, and especially so as we anticipate His return. We're to be blameless. Now, it's interesting. There are a couple of words for blameless in the New Testament. One is a word, amemptos, A-M-E-M-P-T-O-S, and it really means unblameable or above reproach because of being morally pure. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're to be blameless. Now, we're not sinless. We, even a born-again Christian, sins. Now, positionally, they are in Christ, but our salvation determines our position. Our daily walk determines our fellowship or our yieldedness. Salvation, you saying, "Lord, come into my life, save me. Lord, I want to be born again." The new birth speaks to sonship. Our daily walk speaks to fellowship. And we are, with God's help and for God's glory, to live a life that is blameless. And it really means unblameable. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean that we're up on some moral high horse and we're all sanctimonious. But it does mean that because our sins have been washed away, and because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us, the Spirit of God indwells us, the righteousness of Christ has been imparted to us, in gratitude and obedience, we are to live with Christ as our Master and Lord, unblameable, above reproach because of being morally pure. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 uses the word blameless, and it really means without fault or defect. See, you are, in the eyes of your Savior, you're a saint. You're imputed with the righteousness of Christ. And we need to live in our actual identity. Very often we'll say, you know, well, I'm just a saved sinner. And that's true. We are. But really, in the eyes of God, we're a saint. We are without fault or defect, thanks to the righteousness of Jesus. So we need to live like that and behave in accord with our true nature. Do you know 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "May He make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus." We are to be holy. And really, this is the word for sanctification. You know, I like how Strong's Concordance handles this word holy and holiness. And it speaks to, now listen, this is beautiful, the Holy Spirit's influence of preparing the believer for eternity. God's sanctification, says Strong, God's sanctification brings the gift of holiness so the believer can fully enjoy eternal life now and in the hereafter. End of quote. Okay, Christ is coming, and we look to that, and our heart is to be blameless, our life is to be holy. Now, think about this, enjoying holiness. Isn't that something? But yet, it is a joy to know that we're right with God, and as the song says, it is well with my soul. And then Philippians 1:10, I want to read Philippians 1:10, which is a great verse regarding this. He says in Philippians 1, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you. Now it goes on, and it says, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Now, what does that word pure mean? In Philippians 1:10, we're to be sound, blameless, holy, pure. The word means uncontaminated. Isn't that something? Uncontaminated. Hey, by the way, let's talk about the light of the gospel and the light of our Christian witness. Because, you know, so often nowadays Christians are maligned. But listen, do you know when the light bulb really made a big splash on the world? I'm reading a biography of Edison and the others that worked with Edison, you know, Europeans and Americans, to get the world electrified. And finally, there was a street one time in Paris that Edison and others worked to put up streetlights, and they turned them on. And one newspaper reporter said that the lights in the nighttime sky were, quote, unearthly, obnoxious to the human eye. The novelist Robert Louis Stevenson talked about the streets lit in nighttime Paris, and he said, lights will cause nightmares. If we illuminate the darkness with light bulbs, people the world over will have nightmares. And there was a pushback against light. Well, it didn't happen. People don't have nightmares, and I'm thankful we can have electric lights at night. But here's the thing. People react in different ways to light, and light is a good thing because it helps us see our way through the darkness, just like the light of Jesus helps us see our way through this life and be prepared for eternity. I hope you are sound, blameless, holy, pure, by God's power, for God's glory, in light of the soon return of Christ, for which we must all be prepared. In the meantime, in this increasingly dark world, let's live in the light and let's shine the light so that all may believe.
TNG Radio is made possible by the friends of Alex McFarland Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Call us at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com. While you're there, listen to program archives, read Alex's blog, invite Alex to speak at your event, or contact Alex with a question or comment. alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.